In what sense will all Israel be saved? In Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. So, you might just open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 because we're going to be looking at several verses in that chapter for this first question. It's one of the more difficult chapters of the book of Romans in talking about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. And there are some figures used in that chapter, the figure of the tree, the olive tree with the branches and the branches being broken off and branches being grafted in. And sometimes that can get a little confusing to some of us who don't do a lot of grafting of olive trees today, right? And so we'll take a look at this. But the questioner has reference to the common belief in the world that God has a separate plan of salvation for the Jewish people, and that they're going to be saved in a different way than all of the Gentiles are saved. And so that's what the questioner is really asking. In what sense will all Israel be saved? In Romans 11 and verse 26. And that particular verse says this. I got 1 Corinthians here. That's not going to work. Romans 11, verse 26. I flipped over too far. So Romans 11, verse 26 says this. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. All right. So, and a lot of people look at that verse, verse 26, and say, see, all Israel will be saved. And they have reference to physical, national Israel when they look at that verse. And I agree with them that that verse is talking about physical, national Israel. That's who Paul has in mind in this context. But there is something in that verse that modifies the meaning, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. I don't want to just, you know, lead with the punchline, right? I'll save it for later. But anyway, and I kind of get excited about these kind of questions, but anyway. Romans 11 addresses, in the beginning of Romans 11, look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, I say, has God cast away his people? And that's the question that he's seeking to answer in this chapter. Has God cast away his people? Has he said, you know, physical national Israel is you know, they're lost completely. Is that what God has said? And Paul's answer is certainly not. He says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so it's not the case that God has cast away the Israelites, but that's what some were thinking in this context. And it was a question that was being asked by some of the Gentile Christians, according to verse 13. So if you look at verse 13, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. All right. So the Gentiles were wondering about the Jews and what was going to happen to them, especially the unbelieving Jews, but then also the ones who believed as well. And so this question was on their minds, and so Paul sought to answer it for them. And because Paul was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles instead of to the Jews, as his habit was to do after he first approached the Jews with the Gentiles, that maybe they got the misunderstanding that, well, since Paul is no longer preaching to the Jews, he's just preaching to the Gentiles, that God has cast off the Jews. You know, is that what has happened, or is that what is going on? Well, one key verse in the passage is verse 7. And notice what that says. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And some translations are asking this as kind of a question, you know, is this what has happened? And maybe this is what they were saying, these Gentile Christians. Israel has not obtained that which he seeks. And so Israel, but it's true that Israel as a nation had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. But some of the Jewish people in the first century did not reject Jesus as Messiah. In fact, they accepted him. That's the whole group of Christians that begins there in Jerusalem, right? In Acts chapter 2. And some scholars think that there were as many as 20,000 Christians in that first couple of weeks and maybe years of Christianity in the city of Jerusalem. Because there could be up to 1 million people in Jerusalem at any given time, depending on how people came and went in that city. So it was a pretty big city in that day and age. So those who accepted Jesus were, of course, saved. But those who did not accept Jesus fell. And notice verses 11 and 12 here, what Paul says. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So they didn't accept Jesus, but because they didn't do that, that gave the Gentiles an opportunity to accept Jesus. And in the Gentiles accepting Jesus, the hope of the Apostle Paul, at least, was that the Jews would be envious enough to want to investigate and to find out and then to learn themselves. So does this mean then that they cannot be saved? No. In fact, Paul wanted them to be saved. He was preaching to the Gentiles partially to provoke the Jews in accepting salvation, as he says there in verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, he says. And so he wanted them to be saved, and they could be saved. And so in that regard, he then uses this allegory of the olive tree. And in this allegory, it is those who are grafted into the tree that are saved. The Jews are represented as the natural branches. But they had been broken off due to their rejection of the gospel. The Gentiles are represented as those who are grafted in due to their acceptance of the gospel. And toward the end of the allegory, however, Paul discusses those Jews who had first been broken off and what would happen to them if they accepted the gospel. He said, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they don't remain in unbelief, okay, and this is verse 23, shall be grafted in, all right? So they would be added back in to the olive tree, for God is able to graft them in again. But it was conditional. It said, if they abide not still in unbelief. So they have to be believers in order to be grafted back into the tree. Now, verse 26 of Romans 11 is a conclusion to this whole allegory. And that's what the questioner is asking about. Romans 11 and verse 26. And it's the conclusion. And notice Paul says this, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, I want you to note that this is one of those places in the Bible where one word makes a difference as to how to understand the verse, all right? One word makes a difference, and it's a very small word, a two-letter word, the word so. And you say, well, what difference does the word so make? You know, a lot of times we use the word so as a word of conclusion. You know, for example, we might say, so, in conclusion, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is we're concluding, right? But that's not how the word so is used here. Here, it's used as an adverb of manner. In other words, it means in this way, all right? So to use an example of the word so as an adverb of manner, you would say something like this, like say, for example, you were making you were following a, you were stitching a hem or something like that, and you said, use this stitch like so, that is in this manner. And that's how this word so is being used in verse 26. So what does this mean? Does this mean that all Israel is going to be saved? No, it doesn't say all Israel is going to be saved. It says, and so, that is in this manner, all Israel will be saved. Now, the word so is kind of ambiguous in English, but in the Greek language, it's not ambiguous at all. This is an adverb of manner, and so it means in this way, all Israel will be saved. Well, what is the way in which all Israel will be saved? And you'll notice at the end of verse 26, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Well, what is that referring to? That's referring to Jesus the Messiah, right? That's how Israel is saved. And so, all in this manner, all Israel will be saved. How? By the deliverer who comes out of Zion. And who is that deliverer? It's Jesus. He is the Messiah. And that's the covenant that Jesus brings, the new covenant. Okay? So, the word so here means in this way. And the idea is that they will be saved in the same manner in which those who are grafted back into the olive tree will be saved. Now notice what verse 27 says then in regard to the covenant. This covenant is the covenant where I take away their sins. Now we know what that covenant is. It's the same one that Jeremiah refers to in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, the new covenant. And he says, there's coming a day, well, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, right? Not according to the old covenant, but a new covenant. And what's the sign of that new covenant? I will take away their sins. I will forgive them of their sins or remember their sins no more. I will put my laws into their heart and in their minds. I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 10 says. So what is this covenant? It's the new covenant. The first covenant has been taken away that the second could be established, according to Hebrews 10 and verse 9. So what does that mean then? It means that the Jews are going to be saved in exactly the same way as the Gentiles. That is, by the covenant, by the new covenant of Jesus Christ. There's no special plan of salvation for the Jews separate from what God has given to the Gentiles. The same plan that saves Gentiles is the plan that saves Jews as well. And so in this new covenant that is going to be established, all of mankind will be saved. And notice here as well, it says, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. And that's the conclusion of his reasoning here in this particular chapter. So, and that's verse 32, okay? He's concluded all, and this is the, that's the American Standard Version, but the New King James Version said, God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. All right? So, in order for them to have mercy then, what do they need to do? The same thing that a Gentile would need to do to become a Christian, to hear the gospel and believe it, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, we see very clearly that's what the Jews in Acts chapter 2, they follow that plan. You turn over to Acts chapter 8, they follow that plan. You know, anywhere you look at that plan in the New Testament, they're following that plan, whether it's Jews or whether it's Gentiles. They're both following the same plan for salvation. And so there's no special plan of salvation for the Jewish people or for Israel. And this verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 26 does not teach that all of Israel is going to be saved, you know, regardless. It teaches that in this manner, all Israel will be saved. And so all Israel will be saved. That is, in the same way that Gentiles are saved, by being grafted in to the olive tree. All right. Now, we know this is true because God is no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35. And so everyone has the same opportunity of salvation through the message of the New Testament that God has given us through his apostles and prophets.